Pastor, and greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope what I'm about to share with you is a blessing to you and your loved ones. And as we broadcast, I may not be able to get to your emails once again, but this is all due to the fact that they have elected a new pope. I hope you stay tuned as I have some strange news to share with you about this man. I must say that the next couple of weeks is going to be a melting pot of strange articles due to Rome's antics in the media. I have many important articles I had to put on the back burner due to the flood of data spewing from Rome. Everything from Cardinal Bernard Law, who allowed child molestations to flourish, saying a mass at the Vatican, to children in public schools being forced by the government to keep their mouths shut regarding their anti-homosexual thoughts. I hate putting that kind of stuff on the back burner or on the bottom of the stack, but I feel I need to share these strange things coming from Rome simply because, whether you're a Christian or not, the events in Rome do in fact affect every soul on earth. You can go ahead and call me a left-wing conspiracy theorist all you like. However, even you, one day, will be wowed when you realize just how much evil is actually regurgitating from the synagogue of Satan. Now, before moving on to the info I have on the new pope, let me ask your assistance in a pressing matter. I need your help in finding a picture of the pope's coffin. Not necessarily the wooden one, but the one that has the skull and crossbones on it. I believe it's the lead one, the one that's about 800 pounds many articles are mentioning. I mean, the Miami Herald, NBC2.com, the San Francisco Chronicle, Chicago Tribune, and a host of other news sources reported almost word for word the same thing in their articles about the pope's coffin. They all more or less said that the pope's body is to be interred in three coffins, one of cypress, which symbolizes humility, one of zinc or lead to preserve the body, and one of elm. One of the most expensive woods in Italy, conveying respect, I guess. The lead and elm coffins will probably bear bronze plates with the Pope's Latin name, Ioannis Paulus II, and the dates of his life. The lead coffin, which weighs 800 pounds, has traditionally been marked with a skull and crossbones, the reporter said. Again, I would like to ask anyone that has pictures of the lead coffin to please send me the pictures if and when you find them. I already have a friend in Canada sent me two pictures of Roman Catholic crucifixes with the skull and crossbones on them. This proves Rome is already embracing Masonic symbols. The reason I want the pictures is for a page I'll be creating for the website that proves the Roman Catholic Church not only embraces the Luciferian religion of the Freemason, they actually created the religion to destroy Christianity. Any research any of you may have unearthed in that regard would be greatly appreciated as well. Now, before moving on, I would like to ask those Masons out there to hold off on sending me all sorts of emails about your religion. If you're not in the higher degrees, you have no clue as to what I'm speaking of anyway. The Mason religion was designed to slowly but surely pick away at the Christian faith. Each degree is merely another step in that process. Once one reaches the 32nd or the 33rd degree, they have been so demonically influenced through the previous steps that it then becomes an easy transition to go from Christianity into just plain blunt worship of Luciferian or Satan. In fact, the process is designed to eventually make the initiate believe Christianity is the evil infiltrator and Lucifer is the true God. So again, before sending me the emails, I'm not changing my focus in my mission to expose Antichrist by taking on a new work of exposing the Masonic religion. There are plenty of ministries already doing that quite nicely already. I have all I can do to keep up with the antics of Rome and a few of her friends in other infiltrated religions at present. If you would like to see some very graphic data on Freemasonry, just send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org, and I will send you some websites I found while researching this that have a lot of information on the topic, as well as pictures to satisfy even the most hardened skeptic. I am not as well versed in this as they are, so check them out. Trust me, you're not going to believe what they uncover in their sites. This is why I need a picture of the skull and crossbones on the Pope's coffin. And even if I don't get the picture, I have enough reputable articles now proclaiming that the skull and crossbones is in fact on that coffin. So I just thought a picture would, you know, be a nice addition to it, like a nail in the coffin kind of a thing. Many Christians have already discovered that Freemasonry is evil, and many Catholics have as well. I am hoping this evidence is all that is needed to help even more out of the halls of Rome. So again, please send me any pictures you have on the skull and crossbones in connection with Roman Catholicism, especially if you find them on the lead coffins of the popes that gained the 33rd degree in Freemasonry. Okay. Over the past few weeks, some have asked who I think the next pope would be. I have stated all along that I had three or four favorites, judging by how evil this church needs to get if they hope to enforce their mark, the mark of the beast. Out of those favorites, I saw two that stand, you know, out rather boldly. I've mentioned Cardinal Francis Arinz, a black man who declared openly that Christ is not needed to gain heaven, and Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who heads the Office of Inquisition at Pope John Paul II, reinstated back in February of 91, who also declared in writing that Jesus Christ is not needed to gain heaven. I have said repeatedly that if there were only these two men to choose from, I would most definitely choose Ratzinger as getting the vote. Now, many of you know that this broadcast is pre-recorded in a week in advance. I already started the research a few days before Ratzinger was elected because I felt he was going to get the job anyway. Why? Well, he was a Nazi soldier, as well as one of Hitler's youths. You do the math. To have a man with such an evil past as his, one can only assume he is Rome's favorite. A babe in Christ that studies prophecy could have figured this one out. Looking to John Paul II and the fact that he sold Sinai to the Nazis for killing Jews, one can see a good bet they would elect Ratzinger all along. In fact, there were many articles in the media beforehand proclaiming him to be the favorite to win anyway. And we all thought this was a secret conclave. With that said, I would like to share an article I was planning on sharing anyway, even if Ratzinger wasn't elected. I figured if he wasn't elected, he's still the Dean of Cardinals and worthy of exposing. The fact that he was elected Pope makes it all the more evident that Rome is home to many demons. For them to elect a man like this says volumes about their character. And some of you thought allowing Cardinal Law to say a mass for John Paul II's corpse was a bad thing. Bernard Law, a man that allowed scores of children to be raped on a regular basis, who was then cast out of office in the USA only to be promoted in the Vatican? That act alone made many realize just how evil Rome truly is. They just don't care what their flock thinks anymore. And to drive that fact home, they elect Ratzinger? This is going to make it far easier to convince the Catholic that it's time to get out of there. So anyway, the article says this. It's from the Sunday Times, reported on April 17th. Headline reads, "Papal Hopeful is a Former Hitler Youth." Now that was strange. Right after I said the headline, "Papal Hopeful is a Former Hitler Youth," thunder rolled in the background. I don't know if you heard it on the air, but I most assuredly heard it here. Anyway, getting back, understand that this article is all about Ratzinger, and it was published 2 days before his election as Pope. Okay, the headline reads, the article reads, "The wartime past of a leading German contender to succeed John Paul II may return to haunt him as cardinals begin voting in the Sistine Chapel tomorrow to choose a new leader for 1 billion Catholics." Okay, so let's stop right here for a minute for the obvious comment. The Nazi war crimes of many popes never seemed to prevent them from gaining the papal chair. And I could, you know, and when I say many popes, you can go back 1,000 years. Nazis, the crimes that they committed were being committed thousands of years ago as well. So why would this worry them now? I mean, why start worrying now? I mean, the articles and facts I display online about the popes regarding this fact confirms that easily. Most of the data was known before they became pope. Take, for example, John Paul II. Did his employment as a cyanide salesman for the Nazis prevent him from becoming pope? No, not at all. In fact, he became the most globally loved pope, last I checked. An evil generation loves an evil leader. Did this generation not learn anything from Clinton? This is why we see Ratzinger as Pope now. The people are ready for it, and Satan knows it. Continuing, the article says, "Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, whose strong defense of Catholic orthodoxy has earned him a variety of sobriquets," which I think is French for nicknames, including the Enforcer, the Panzer Cardinal. Now, Panzer is a German tank. Okay, that's what Panzer is. And God's Rottweiler is expected to pull around 40 votes in the first ballot as conservatives rally behind him. Although far short of the requisite two-thirds majority of the 115 votes, this would almost certainly give Ratzinger, who's 78 last Saturday, an early lead in the voting. Liberals have yet to settle on a rival candidate who would come close to his tally. Unknown to many members of the church, however, Ratzinger's past includes brief membership of the Hitler Youth Movement and wartime service with a German Army anti-aircraft unit. Okay, let's stop here. Okay, Hitler Youth, I mean, weren't these the children that were brainwashed in such a way that they were actually turning in their own parents to be killed? And now he's Pope? Judging by the Vatican's past, this is par for the course, I guess. Plus, history declares he was a German soldier as well. I mean, you don't man an anti-aircraft unit as a youth, okay? It's not done, though the Vatican will lie and say otherwise. But continuing, the article says, although there is no suggestion that he was involved in any atrocities, his service may be contrasted by opponents with the attitude of John Paul II, who took part in an anti-Nazi theater performances in his native Poland, and in 1986 became the first pope to visit Rome's synagogue. Okay. Anti-Nazi theater? Isn't this always the case with Rome? There is a rock-hard pile of evidence supporting the fact that John Paul II helped the Nazis kill people from all walks of life, and here the Vatican is saying he's against the Nazis? So does anyone believe them when they say Ratzinger wasn't involved in any atrocities? This Vatican is well known for their lies. I mean, need I mention how many eons they lied about molesting their parish youth? Continuing, the son of a rural Bavarian police officer, Ratzinger was six when Hitler came to power in 1933. His father, also called Joseph, was an anti-Nazi whose attempts to reign in Hitler's brown shirts forced the family to move home several times. In 1937, Ratzinger's father retired and the family moved to Traunstein, a staunchly Catholic town in Bavaria close to the Führer's mountain retreat in Bergestagen. He joined the Hitler Youth aged 14 shortly after the membership was made compulsory in 1941. He quickly won a dispensation on account of his training at a seminary. Ratzinger was only briefly a member of the Hitler Youth and not an enthusiastic one, concluded John Allen, his biographer. Okay, hold on a minute. One minute they're saying that there is no suggestion of Ratzinger being involved in atrocities. The next, they sound so confident that he was not an enthusiastic youth for Hitler. Confused? Of course you are. This is all Rome knows how to do. They mix it up so much that both sides of the fence can be embraced without seeming to be on either side. The article goes on to say that 2 years later, Ratzinger was enrolled in an anti-aircraft unit that protected a BMW factory making aircraft engines. The workforce included slaves from the Dachau concentration camp. Slaves from concentration camps? First of all, this proves he went beyond Hitler's youth to actually becoming a Nazi soldier for Hitler. This also alludes to the fact that he was involved in atrocities. I mean, come on, think about it. He's a Nazi soldier. His buddies are all Nazi soldiers. Do you think maybe peer pressure or simply just showing off would have led to some atrocities with those slaves from the concentration camps that worked so closely with them in those factories? Do I need to spell it out here? It seems they're lying in this article. Continuing, it says, Ratzinger has insisted he never took part in combat or fired a shot, adding that his gun was not even loaded because of a badly infected finger. That's what he says. Adding that the gun was not even loaded because of a badly infected finger. He was sent to Hungary, where he set up tank traps and saw Jews being herded to death camps. He deserted in April of 1944 and spent a few weeks in a prisoner of war camp. Okay. A badly infected finger prevented him from firing an unloaded gun? Well, which is it? The gun was unloaded or your finger was crippled? Why would he mention an infected finger if the gun was already unloaded, or vice versa for that matter? I mean, too many likely stories would make even the most uneducated rookie in detective work shout out, he's hiding something here. I mean, come on already. An infected finger? That's almost as laughable as an unloaded Nazi anti-aircraft gun. The gun is placed in position to defend a crucial wartime installation, a factory. A wartime Nazi-run factory, no less. It's a strategic piece of equipment in assuring the operation of the plant goes on without hindrance. And Ratzinger wants us to believe the Nazis not only had this greatly needed and strategic defense weapon unloaded, he also wants us to believe the Nazis had no problem with him having someone manning the gun that couldn't even fire it in the event the plant was attacked because his finger was infected. Does that sound like normal wartime procedure to you? Wouldn't you rather have the guns loaded and the soldiers healthy enough to at least pull a trigger? This seems just so ridiculous to me. Continuing, the article says he has since said that although he was opposed to the Nazi regime, any open resistance would have been futile. Comments echoed this weekend by his elder brother George, a retired priest ordained along with the cardinal in 1951. Resistance was truly impossible, George Ratzinger said. Before we were conscripted, one of our teachers said we should fight and become heroic Nazis, and another told us not to worry, only one soldier in 1,000 was killed, but neither of us used a rifle against the enemy. Do you believe them? I don't either. In fact, the article goes on to quote someone that doesn't believe that story either. It says some locals in Trongstein, like Elizabeth Lohner, 84, whose brother-in-law was sent to Dachau as a conscientious objector, dismiss such suggestions. It was possible to resist, and those people set an example for others, she said. The Ratzingers were young and had made a different choice. Amen. There are many stories from that era that prove Ratzinger and his brother were able to resist, but will that matter since he has already been crowned the Lord God Pope or another God on earth, as Vatican documentation calls him now? Time will tell. Rest assured, after his election, many will clamor to his side with ear-to-ear grins in the hopes of his obvious blessings, irregardless of how evil this man has been proven to be already. Keep in mind, this is the cardinal that John Paul II had head up the Office of Inquisition when it was reopened in 91. Truth is, he was still the controlling cardinal of that office, as well as dean of cardinals when he was elected pope. He's gotten this far with his evil past. Why should another step matter? This is why it becomes so obvious to so many that he was to be pope. And that, in the fact that he's the one who controlled the voting process in the first place. He's the dean of cardinals. Continuing with the article, they go on further to confirm it was a lie, that it was impossible to resist. In 1937, another family, a few hundred yards away in Trongstein, hid Hans Brackensteiler, a local resistance fighter. SS troops repeatedly searched homes in the area looking for the fugitive and his fellow conspirators. When he was betrayed and the Nazis came for him, Brackensteiler shot himself because he knew he couldn't escape, said Frieda Meyer, 82, Ratzinger's neighbor and childhood friend. Even though they had tortured him in Dachau concentration camp, he refused to give up his resistance efforts. As one Western cardinal who was in two minds about him put it, he would probably be a great pope, but I have no idea how I would explain his election back home. That's coming from their own mouths, people. And then one liberal theologian, when asked what he thought of a Ratzinger papacy, now keep in mind, this is before he's elected. This article was written the day before. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was the day before. No, it was 2 days before. It was on the 17th. This liberal theologian, when he was asked about what his thoughts are of a Ratzinger papacy, he was more direct. He said, "It fills me with horror." So, what will they do? Well, time will tell. Now, one more thing is needed to be mentioned here. As I mentioned in previous broadcasts, Germany is to play a very strategic role in creating and solidifying the one world government. So a pope from Germany was actually a no-brainer, just like a pope from Poland during the Solidarity Movement was also needed. Germany's pivotal role became apparent after John Paul II gathered forces with Ronald Reagan to topple the Iron Curtain. This is why both men were shot by would-be assassins that year. Now, yes, I know the media has completely different stories on the shootings, but But since when do we believe anything the media has to say anyway? I mean, they're still saying a 767 aircraft that is 45 feet high, 125 feet wide, and about 144 feet long left a 16-foot hole in the Pentagon. Not only that, it left absolutely no debris, no dead bodies, and caused absolutely no damage to the front lawn of the Pentagon it supposedly bounced off of. So, who is this Ratzinger the Vatican prelates hired to do their dirty work? At a press conference, after the document Dominus Jesus was released, Ratzinger stated, and I quote, "We are in agreement that a Jew, that is true for believers of other religions, does not need to know or acknowledge Christ as the Son of God in order to be saved." Zenit News organization actually printed that in an article entitled "Are Believers of Other Religions Saved?" on September 5th, 2000. Zenit News is a Catholic organization. Well, my Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I ask, why would he say such a thing? It's like I said before in a few newsletters or my webpage entitled "Pope Declares Jesus Not Needed" and a couple of radio broadcasts. They need to water Jesus down dramatically and uplift Mary if they want to ensure a global takeover of all churches, regardless if they're Christian or not. Rome must become the global moral authority if this is going to work. And it's going to work, people, because it's prophecy being fulfilled right before your eyes. You can't stop it. That's why I always say, there's no reason to go out there and picket. There's no reason to go out there and start a revolt. What you need to do is get your house ready, because this is going to happen. You can't stop it. I mean, you'd be fighting against a God. He's the one that stated these things in prophecy. And it's got to work. It's going to work. This is why many religions, including Muslims, look to Mary as one worthy of respect and worship. They have been planning this day from day one. I mean, just the name alone, Catholic, in English means universal. From day one, they were thinking of a global church anyway. Did you know that Mary is mentioned 34 times? Not just the name Mary, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, is mentioned 34 times in the Muslim Quran. Back in May of 2003, the Vatican stated this in a headline from Zenit organization. It says, the headline reads, "Islam sees Mary as a model for all believers." It's May 29, 2003, it came out, Zenit organization. It says, "God is the only point of reference for the Muslim believer, but next to him are those who reflect his holiness. Mary is one of them. Archbishop Francisco Gioia, president of the Pilgrimages to the See of Peter, the archbishop expounds on that point in a book, Mary, Mother of the Word, Model of Dialogue Between Religions, published in Ciutat Nueva. Mary occupies an outstanding place in Islam," he said. And it goes on to say, "She is the only woman whose name the Quran mentions up to 34 times. Mary is particularly fascinating to Muslims. She is the model of all believers because of her absolute faith and perfect submission to the will of God," he added. "Vatican Council II took note of the benevolent attitude of the Muslims toward Mary and the declaration, and in the declaration, Nostra Aetate, one reads, they honor Mary, the virginal mother of Jesus, and at times invoke her with devotion," the archbishop observed. "Muslim faithful's affection, the Muslim's faithful affection and devotion to Mary is reflected in the pilgrimages they undertake to Marian shrines, especially Fatima," because the word Fatima shows up in the Quran. And in fact, that many Muslim women are called Mary," he added. "In the Quran, Mary has a decided Christological function, underlined by the prevailing designation of Jesus as Son of Mary." That's right. The Vatican stated Mary has a Christological function with the Muslim, and they put Jesus on the lower pedestal. This is why Mary was mentioned in the very first statement Ratzinger, as Pope Benedict XVI, made. And I'll share that with you after the break. So please stay tuned. to the Truth Provided broadcast. I'll be back in a few minutes.